Welcome to S&C's podcast series, S&C Critical Insights. I'm Julie Jordan, co-head of S&C's Labor and Employment Practice. On today's podcast, I will be focusing on employers' obligations to provide leave to employees under the newly enacted Families First Coronavirus Response Act. This bill is the second emergency measure from Congress in response to the pandemic and was signed into law on Wednesday evening, March 18th. The Response Act contains a number of different divisions and acts. Two of them address the provision of leave to employees. First, the Emergency Family and Medical Leave Expansion Act that expands the existing FMLA. Second, the Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act. The Response Act also provides for certain tax credits for wages paid under either of those two acts. As a threshold matter, it is important for employers to note that these newly enacted laws only apply to private employers that have fewer than 500 employees. These leave provisions also apply to all public employees, but again, they do not apply to private employers who have 500 or more employees. Given that significant limitation in passing this legislation, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell described the Response Act as well-intentioned, but noted it has real shortcomings in terms of only providing help to a subset of workers. Congress is expected to pass additional legislation in the days ahead in response to the pandemic. Under the Response Act, the Department of Labor has the authority to issue regulations to exempt employers with fewer than 50 employees under certain circumstances. The statute specifically provides the Department of Labor with the authority to issue those regulations without going through the standard public comment period. Today, the Department of Labor held a webinar for practitioners in this area. On that webinar, they provided an overview of the legislation, but did not provide any guidance. Rather, it received from over 1,500 participants many questions about the scope of the legislation and stated it would take those questions into consideration in drafting the regulations. There are a number of issues left open by the Act, including how one determines the threshold issue of whether an employer has fewer than 500 employees. Those questions include whether related entities can aggregate employees to reach the 500 employee threshold, what date should an employer use for determining whether they meet the 500 employee threshold, and should an employer include part-time employees in the calculation. The Response Act is scheduled to go into effect not later than 15 days after its enactment and expires on December 31st of this year. Unfortunately, to date, the Department of Labor has not given any indication of when it expected to issue its regulations. Now, turning to the requirements of the FMLA Expansion Act. For an employee to be eligible, he or she has to have been employed for at least 30 calendar days. This is notable because the FMLA has a much longer period of eligibility. Under the FMLA Expansion Act, a covered employer is required to provide an eligible employee up to 12 weeks of leave if the employee is unable to work or telework because of a need to care for a son or daughter under 18 years of age due to school closures or unavailability of childcare providers because of a public healthcare emergency. I note that the original legislation was much broader than this and provided leave rights for those who were subject to quarantine or taking care of someone who was. As enacted, however, the leave legislation for the extended FMLA is limited to relating to the care of a child under the age of 18. Now, turning to the important issue of whether this leave is unpaid or paid. The first 10 days of an employee's leave are permitted to be unpaid leave. Employees may choose to substitute any accrued vacation leave, personal leave, or medical or sick leave in lieu of this first 10-day unpaid leave period. Notably, employers may not require their employees to do so. After the initial 10 days of leave, employers must provide paid leave to eligible employees up to 12 weeks of total leave. The paid leave must not be less than two-thirds of the employee's regular rate of pay and should be based upon the number of hours the employee would normally work. There are pay caps. Paid family leave is capped per employee at $200 per day and $10,000 in the aggregate per employee. The FMLA Expansion Act also provides for job protections for employees. Subject to certain limitations, upon return from leave, eligible employees shall be restored by the employer to the position of employment held by the employee when the leave commenced, or be restored to an equivalent position with equivalent employment benefits, pay, and other terms and conditions of employment. Notably, employers who employ fewer than 25 employees are not subject to these job protection requirements if certain specified conditions apply. Notably, employers with employees who are healthcare providers or emergency responders may choose to exclude such employees from the FMLA Expansion Act. Now, turning to the sick leave portion of the legislation. This is the first ever federal paid sick time mandate. Under the Sick Leave Act, full-time eligible employees are entitled to 80 hours or 2 weeks of paid sick leave wages, and part-time employees are entitled to paid sick leave wages for the average number of hours that they work over a two-week period. Under the Sick Leave Act, employers must provide paid sick leave at the employee's regular rate of pay for employees who are unable to work or telework because of a need for leave due to three circumstances. First, a federal, state, or local quarantine or isolation order related to the coronavirus. Two, complying with advice by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine due to concerns relating to coronavirus. Three, experiencing symptoms of coronavirus and seeking a medical diagnosis. For employees falling under any of these three circumstances, there is a pay cap of $511 per day and $5,110 in aggregate. Under the Sick Leave Act, employers also are required to pay employees paid sick leave at two-thirds of the employee's regular rate for employees who are unable to work or telework because of a need for leave due to the following three circumstances. First, caring for a family member who is subject to a quarantine or isolation order related to the coronavirus, or complying with the healthcare provider's advice to self-quarantine because of coronavirus. Two, caring for a son or daughter whose school or place of care is closed or childcare provider is unavailable due to coronavirus. Three, experiencing any substantially similar conditions specified by the Secretary of Health and Human Services in consultation with the Secretary of the Treasury and the Secretary of Labor. There are pay caps for these particular employees. For employees being paid at two-thirds rate of pay, the cap is $200 per day and $2,000 in the aggregate. Unlike the extended FMLA, the sick leave applies to all employees regardless of the length of their employee. How does the Sick Leave Act interplay with existing leave policies? An employee may first use the paid sick time provided under the Sick Leave Act, and employers may not require an employee to first use other paid leave provided by the employer. Paid sick time required under the Sick Leave Act will not carry over to the next year. The Department of Labor will be providing a notice outlining employee rights under this act and employers are required to post that notice. As with the FMLA Expansion Act, employers may exclude healthcare providers, and the Secretary of Labor has the authority to issue regulations, including exceptions for small businesses with fewer than 50 employees, if the imposition of sick leave requirements would jeopardize the viability of that business as a going concern. The Act, as it stands today, leaves some significant uncertainties for employers, including which employees fall under the healthcare provider exceptions, and whether employers will get credit for leave they voluntarily provided employees before the legislation was enacted or became effective. We are hopeful that the regulations being prepared by the Department of Labor will address these issues. That concludes today's podcast. Thank you for listening to S&C Critical Insights. You can find additional information on the paid leave obligations of private employers under the Response Act on our website, www.solcrom.com, in a March 19th memo entitled, Families First, Coronavirus Response Act Becomes Law, Employer Takeaways. Our website also contains additional information and guidance relating to other legal developments, including unemployment law, under coronavirus S&C updates. And we plan to address there the anticipated Department of Labor regulations once they are issued. I also invite you to subscribe to our Legal Developments Affecting the Workplace blog by clicking on the provided link. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Be safe.